Amen. You won't find that singing everywhere, I guarantee you that. Amen. Thank the Lord, that's over. Anyway, we appreciate you being here. Appreciate the opportunity to have the Word of God preached. And it's amazing, folks, you know, can come when they can. And some folks have different motives for coming, different reasons. Some it's peer pressure, some it's religious pressure, some want to be here. And then there's people like Joe, amen, come the whole way from Vermont just to hear preaching. Isn't that a blessing? What a Christian that Joe is, amen. So we appreciate him coming. Joe, why don't you testify what the Lord's done for you? Take a couple minutes if you don't mind. Put you on the spot. Yeah, go right ahead, brothers. Yeah, sure. Just stand and let the Lord's done for you a couple minutes.
My testimony of what the Lord has done for me is that when I think about it, you know, starting out from an early age and, you know, knowing that we're supposed to ask the Lord for things and get things, that he answers prayer in his own time.
Amen.
And that's, you know, I wanted to be saved when I was 50, when I was like 11, I remember just this burden, this pressing, I needed to get saved. You know, I knew that people said that I needed to get saved, and I didn't get saved until I was 24. I got baptized when I was in my teen years, and, you know, just believing as much as I could without having blessed assurance. And so God's timing and our timing are not the same, and God's thoughts and our thoughts aren't the same.
That's good.
He answers prayers. If we want what he wants for us, and we know that, and he knows that, then it will happen. And we have to just hold on and trust in the Lord with our whole heart. And
amen.
The Lord answered. One of the greatest burdens on my heart this past summer in saving my sister. And that's just, I mean, there's no way to describe, you know, what that means. But to see her, the change in her spirit, and she came, she begins to say, my bitterness is all gone.
Oh,
hey. Some of you may not understand, but Joe is from upstate Vermont. I mean, he's a woodchuck. And I called him a couple weeks ago, invited him to the meetings. You say, why would somebody drive the whole way from Vermont to here to go to a meeting? Well, ask Joe. I know how to ask people the right way. I said, Joe, if you happen to be in New York by chance, amen, we're having a meeting. Amen. And I appreciate testimony. Hey, if the Lord's sitting here, just testify those words. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. We certainly appreciate the Word of God, the testimony. And let's go to Romans chapter 8, continuation. I'll start back in verse 6. We left off in, I guess, verse 6, 7, and 8 last evening. But in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. What is that carnal mind? It's that old mind. That mind given to those things you used to think on. That mind given to your own lusts. That mind given to your own desires, your own bitterness. He said it's to be spiritually minded. Not many spiritually minded folk out there. There's life and peace. That's why folks are in turmoil. Even those that name the name of Christ, they're in turmoil and bitterness of heart because they're not spiritually minded. I've said this week a couple of times, I'll repeat myself, and Brother Fane Jordan said many, many years ago, he said, a spiritual man doesn't think he's spiritual. But those that think they're spiritual are usually carnal.
Come on.
Because a spiritual man sees what he really is. A carnal man can't see it. He looks in the mirror and he thinks everything's good by the appearance of things he sees. And he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. For those of you that are preachers here, try preaching with a carnal mind. Listen, I've been doing this long enough, I can go through the motions. I've been preaching full time 17 years, been preaching over 20 years, and been studying the Word of God for some 27 years, and I can go through the motions of preaching. I get up here and I can draw on heartstrings and have emotion and have an altar full and, you know, just based on the knowledge of the things of yesteryear, the things that I know that could take place, and I can go find that message I know really, really stirs people, and God not being 100 miles up. Because that carnal mind is enmity against God. God forbid I stand in a carnal mind, in a carnal way, go through the motions of religion out of an obligation to you. Yet many do. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then verse 9, he's speaking to us now. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But are you in the Spirit? You're walking in the Spirit. You have the Spirit. He said you're not in the flesh. Spiritual decisions. Your spiritual understanding. It changes your life.
Amen.
You no longer conform to somebody else. You conform to Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're no longer looking for a leader. You're looking for Christ.
Amen.
A lot of folks just looking for a man to guide them. They're looking for leadership. Looking for someone to help them through troubled waters. Where in the Spirit, you have that help you need. Now, I don't have to go too far with that, because a lot of folks that therefore just get out of church because they have the Spirit, they don't need help. But they're carnally minded as well. A lot of folks can't find a church good enough for them because they're carnal. Because nobody's quite as good a Christian as they are. I've met a lot of them over the years. Everybody else down at the church isn't quite as high-minded as them, doesn't live quite as clean as them, therefore they can't tolerate others because they're not like them. That's carnal. That's not spiritual. And he said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be, and here it is, if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It's not a guarantee. There's evidences. There's proofs. How does the Spirit of God dwell in you with the new birth? And yet there's folks that say they love the Lord, name the name of Christ, incapable of seeing things spiritually because they lack the new birth. You must be born again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We spoke on Sunday of the Spirit of Christ. Those prophets of old, they spake, they prophesied by the Spirit of Christ. What they prophesy of? Not only his sufferings, but also the glory that should follow. So if we have the Spirit of Christ and they prophesied by the Spirit of Christ, I would say the Scripture tells us that we would have an understanding because of the Spirit of Christ. Let's go to Psalm 69 and look at that just a moment. That understanding that comes by the Spirit of Christ, if we indeed have Him. And Psalm 69 is one of these great evidences of that, and I'll look at a couple places, and I'll start in verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor, mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And look at verse 21 in particular. You may not be on board yet, but look at verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This is David. David's prophesying, of course, of Jesus Christ. This is fulfilled on the cross. This is fulfilled at Calvary. But it's not just one verse. It's the whole passage. By the Spirit of Christ, we can identify when David is speaking of Christ, when he's prophesying by the Spirit of Christ, not because a historian tells us, not because a doctor of theology tells us, not because our study guide tells us, but by the witness of God on the inside, we can see Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. And God did both of those things at the cross, by the way. Pour out thine indignation upon them. Let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. And by the way, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Then we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So again, we know line upon line, we see Jesus Christ. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, verse 28, and not be written with the righteous, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. Verse 32, the humble shall see this. Let's just take the word of God for what it says. The humble shall see this. So who won't see this? The proud.
That's right.
Too proud to see Christ in Scripture. Why are they proud? Many of them are damned in their pride. Many of them will perish in their pride. But he said, the humble shall see this and be glad. Why? They know it's the fulfillment of Scripture. Who's revealed that to them? Spirit of Christ. Same Spirit of Christ that used David as a prophet of God, spake through David. He reveals it inwardly. Bears witness with us, bears witness in our heart by the word of God, and the humble shall see this and be glad. And then he said, and your heart shall live that seek God. Your heart shall, it's an absolute, live that seek God. Who seeks God? There's none that seeketh after God. I've said many times, I'll say it again here. There is none naturally that seeketh after God, but once you've been awakened to your need, once you've received the light of the gospel, once you've received the light of Scripture, you are obligated to seek God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Therefore, we have to set our heart to seek God. Naturally, no, there's no man that seeketh after God. Naturally, there's no man that desires the things of God. It's amazing how the fatalist, the five-pointer, he looks at this and says, well, there's no man that seeketh after God, none that seeketh after God. But I guess somehow there's no elect in the jungles of Peru, no elect in the Amazon basin, no elect in the wilds of Australia, no elect in New York, because nobody there's seeking after God. But yet he commands you to seek God. As a matter of fact, there'll be a pleasantness to your heart to seek God by the word of God. So back to our text in Romans chapter 8, the humble shall see this. Why? Because they have the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Keep your place again in Romans 8. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9, along the same lines of what we just said, a different text. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man. And what's interesting, by the way, when he says this, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How do you love God? With all your heart. And yet God has prepared these things for those that love him. Those that are seeking after God and can find him. He's not a faraway God. But only the humble are going to see this. A person of pride will never see these things because of their pride. Their pride will keep them from seeing God. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. At some point in your life, Christian, you need to get past the flannel graph. You need to get past the children's Bible. You need to get past the surface. And there are some deep things of God. But he also, this deep calleth unto deep. It doesn't mean they're complicated. It doesn't mean they're out there in Jupiter somewhere. We got to jump up and acclaim them and bring them down. No, they're in the Word of God. And God will reveal them unto babes. If they're his. If they'll seek. If they'll search. I had a newborn babe contact me this week. Sent me several verses and said, have you ever seen this? And I said, of course, I'm a preacher. We know everything. And finally, I just came clean and said, I've not actually seen that, but thank you. And then the obligation comes, well, are you going to study that? And I said, no. I said, that would hurt my pride to study that. Been saved about 3-4 months now. Glory to God. Amen. Why? God reveals them by his Spirit. When's God revealed anything to you? When's God opened this book to you? Not in the history of understanding, not in the realm of, well, I sit in church and I hear what the pastor says, but when does God in your private time ever open the Word of God to you to show you personally the things of God secretly, and he's done it in your heart? How does he do that? By the Spirit of God. And he does that for everyone whom he receiveth. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And by the way, we all have the spirit of man. Can I explain it like this? There's a logic to it. It's the candle of the Lord, searching inward parts of the belly. We know that God gave it to us. It's the spirit of man. Every one of us has the spirit of man. He knoweth the things of a man. Now, in my case, I am a man, as in a male, born that way, always been that way, always will be until I die. Isn't that unusual? My wife is a female. She was born that way, always will be, and when she dies, she'll still be a female. If I was in a horrible accident, destroyed myself, I'd still die a man. Just throwing that out there. God made me a man. God made her a female, a woman. Why? She came out of man. And yet the spirit of man in us teaches us, instructs us in the ways of a man. Do you realize, as I got older, nobody had to tell me to brush my teeth. Nobody had to tell me, you know, I need to blow my nose. Just fair as a life. Eventually, I got to the point, much older, but, you know, nobody had to tell me to bathe. And once I took an interest in girls, then I had to start bathing. Amen. And it just works out best. And my marriage, really, the sanctity of my marriage hinges a lot on my hygiene. We have a much better relationship the more I bathe. Okay. And I understand those things. Any one of us understand those. I understand the ways of a man when it comes to defending my children, fending for my children, feeding my children. I have an understanding. I know the ways of a man. Why? I have the spirit of man which is in me. There are things naturally that profit us and benefit us that are just the ways of man. It doesn't take long. Folks come to the church house and they kind of watch everybody else and they realize, okay, my children are either crazy or out of control and, you know, we need to do something about this. Or maybe they just identify little things. Maybe we can change this to fit in. Maybe we can change this. Everybody else down there does this. Maybe we should do this. And, you know, they kind of formulate themselves to where they are, clothing, manner of life, mannerisms, speech. I mean, most people don't come in the house of God, but maybe the first couple of times swearing and cussing, they figure it out. You know, most people here don't cuss. This is strange. And so they don't cuss in the house of God. Why? Because the spirit of man can teach you those things. But then when God steps in, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. That's why there's folks that don't understand God. They don't have the spirit of God. They understand religion, the form of religion, that form of godliness, but they don't understand God. There's no relationship with God. Again, I said yesterday, and I'll repeat it for those of you that intentionally, willfully skipped the service. I realize many of you went to your own church. That's okay. We have forgiven you for that. When I woke up this morning, I didn't feel great again. So a little bit better. You know, I woke up and I certainly wasn't cognizant of the things of God immediately. I wasn't aware of the things of God immediately. And so I plugged around and got over here and got a shower and rubbed soap in my eyes and shaved and, you know, smacked myself a few times and got a little bit of caffeine. And I sat down and opened this book. And again, one more time this week, I became very cognizant of the holiness of God.
Amen.
I became very aware of my Creator. Throughout the day, we've gone and done things. We were a little bit busy today compared to most days. And as we do things throughout the day, I go and do what normal people are doing. Everybody else is doing what we're doing, but there's someone with me the entire time. There's a cognizance of the presence of God in my life because of the Spirit of Christ. There's a continual awareness of God because of the Spirit of Christ. And that's what affects me most. I've been saved 27 years. I can give some of you some leniency. You've not been saved that long. I ought to be in a place where my life is dictated by the work of God. Everything that falls in place underneath that, even those things by the spirit of man, the natural things to man, still are dictated by the Spirit of God. Our manner of conduct, our manner of living. Changed those things, made those changes, adapted those things. But yet, there's those that could do that without Christ. But when the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. He instructs me in the night season. He comes and can visit in His time. The Lord woke me in the middle of the night last night, instructed me greatly in some things. Fearfully in some things. I know folks say, well, you know, how do you know it's God? Well, if you have to ask that question, let me just say this, you must be born again. God doesn't hide Himself. There's no voice like His voice. There's no speech like His speech. When God reveals Himself to man, man knows it's God. A lot of folks don't experience that. A lot of religion, a lot of practice, a lot of methods, but not necessarily godliness. And He said, "We no man, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How does the Holy Ghost teach us? By the Word of God. And He'll teach you things that He may not teach somebody else.
That's right.
You individually will be taught of the Holy Ghost teaching you spiritual things with spiritual things. Why? Because you have the Spirit of Christ. That's unique to the believer. And let me say this, you can't fake that. You can't drum that up. You can't forge that. That's the witness of God on the inward parts of man.
Amen.
And every believer has that witness. A man told me recently, he said, the Holy Ghost has been my teacher now for 3 years. He said, I was in religion for 25 years. Got saved. He said, after I got saved, he said, I wasn't even in a sound church. He was still in religion. And the Holy Ghost began to teach him, began to instruct him, began to reveal himself, yea, the deep things of God, by the Spirit of God. And he said, I could sit down with the Bible and God open up things to me. This is a man who spends hours a day in studying the Word of God. He got fired from his job. He sat down and just read the Word of God. I said, what are you doing right now? He said, oh, just studying every day. And I took that understanding. I know the man, understood that what he meant is he's literally spent all day studying the Word of God, the Holy Ghost being his teacher. He's learning. He's absorbing. He came out of a cult. Loves the Word of God. Loves the things of God. They're precious to him. And you ladies have no excuse why that's not in your life either. Don't pull the weaker vessel card now. You also can have that same relationship with the Lord. The Holy Ghost can be your teacher. There's things you don't know, you can learn of your husband at home. He tells you that. But there's things God will reveal himself to you in a personal and a private way that he doesn't do for anybody else, because you yourself will receive instruction of God. But see, that's foreign to that. Well, I'm talking crazy stuff. I'm talking weird words today to most people. Nobody tells us this stuff. How do we know what this guy's saying is true? He says, because the natural man, next verse, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's foolishness. By the way, that's where that foolishness of preaching comes in. It pleased the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. God uses foolishness. What is foolishness? A man stands up here, the frailties of his flesh, the failures of his life, the misery of his own being. And he stands up here and opens his lips. And God opens his lips and unctions those words to say what God once said from the pulpit, to prick our hearts and to cut our hearts. The ministry of the Holy Ghost sounds pretty foolish to me. Yet God's been doing it all along. He calls a man, equips that man, puts him in the ministry. He preaches the Word of God. God uses it. God touches it. God anoints it. As unction of God, he knows all things. And he preaches, and folks are cut. Folks are pierced. Folks repent. Folks turn. Why? Because of foolishness of preaching. The natural man said, that's foolish. Why? Because it's things of the Spirit of God. I said to the grocery store, listen, I don't want you to be like me. Please don't think I'm boasting of this. It was a pretty awful event. I was in the grocery store one day when one of my religious enemies came by, and I went after him. And I just said, told my wife, I said, well, I'm going after him today. He'd cut me down, lied about me, slandered me, stabbed me in the back. And my wife said, you want to do that here? I said, yeah, pretty much here, yeah. So we blocked off an aisle of the grocery store, and he and I went toe-to-toe like two bulls in a circle. And it's ugly enough, folks wouldn't come down the aisle. And just in case you're wondering why, I told him the same thing. I said, you won't talk to me at church, so we're going to talk right here. You're not going to slander me, send out emails about me, undermine me, mock my ministry, and then avoid me in the grocery store. That's not going to happen. And by the way, you can do that in the spirit of meekness, because there's things you do defend. One of them is the office that God has called us into and put us into, and I will defend that office.
Amen.
With the word of God.
That's right.
It wasn't a personal attack. It was a personal attack on the word of God. He was attacking the ministry. He was attacking the things that God said. We got down to the end of the conversation. A man of high degree, a professor of a Bible college, a man of very great learning. And I said, do you believe in the unction of God? He just looked at me confused. He said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, what the Bible says. And again, confused. He said, well, of course I believe what the Bible says. I said, do you believe that the Holy Ghost can come upon a man as he stands and preaches? And through that knowledge that God gives him while he preaches, God will use the word of God to prick hearts, to cut folks, to undermine their false doctrine, undermine their error, to expose their sins. And God uses that according to the knowledge that the Holy Ghost has about folks sitting in the pew. And he'll let that man say things that need said from the pulpit. He said, I don't believe that. I said, I'm not surprised. I said, do you believe the Holy Ghost can save things through the preacher in a service that needs said, that that man never had written down, never had notes for? And God so impresses upon him to say it that he says it. He said, I don't believe that. I said, sir, thank you for speaking to me. You've not wasted my time. We each know where each other stands. And I shook his hand. I walked away. Influence. Baptist. King James Bible. Education. Doctor of theology. Instructor in a Bible college. He doesn't believe the work of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, so many don't. It's not what I say. It's what God says. You see, it's he that's ministering to hearts. I'm just the vessel that stands here. I wave my arms, raise my voice, sweat, drop stuff, drink water. Speaking of, wonderful. Spill water. But if the Holy Ghost will take the words being said from the Word of God and walk across the heartstrings of your heart, he'll minister to you where you are and what you need to hear. You say you're saved by the good grace of God, God's going to just let you stew in your own muck and mire and bitterness and that foul spirit, uncleanness, perversion. Not hardly. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost is going to deal with you. Amen. As his child. That's lost today.
Well, yes, sir.
I'm not trying to be cocky, please. I don't want anybody here to think I'm being cocky or arrogant. Let me show you my notes for tonight.
Amen.
That's not me being arrogant. I've had a couple notes this week, two or three. I'm not concerned about how fancy I am or how fancy I preach or how controlled my life is as far as the ministry and the speech. And I don't alliterate or alliterate or obliterate. Because I rely on the Holy Ghost to do the work that's needed. I get up here and preach on Adam and Eve. If it pleases the Lord to take the word of God and prick your heart where you need pricked, he'll do so because he's God enough to do so. For testimonies of folks have gotten saved off of, can I say, peculiar verses, unusual places in the Old Testament. Why? It's pleased the Lord to preach those verses. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. It's just the easiest one for me to remember. Preaching in North Carolina last summer on Twinkie night. God throwing Twinkie night. Glory to God. And preached out of Psalm 77, the Psalms of Asaph. There's a man came up to me on Friday. It was Tuesday night. Friday, a man came up to me in that service. Said, Tuesday night, God saved me in the Psalms of Asaph. He said, for the first time in my life, I saw Jesus Christ by faith. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And if the Holy Ghost will take it, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of it, he'll drive it into your heart. And he'll cut you and he'll hurt you. That's those pricks, that's those cuts. But then one day he'll say to you, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And you'll say, who art thou, Lord? I've been there. I was like Jacob. I was wrestling. I was wrestling with God. I would not give in. I would not bow the knee. I would not quit. And finally, God showed me exactly what I was. Well, God revealed my estate, my lost condition, revealed my sin. Not what I thought I was, what I really was. When God revealed that to me, that day I came to repentance. I was gloriously saved. It was the work of God. It was a miracle of God. You see, again, it's not the words of man's wisdom. It's not the things I say. It's that the Holy Ghost can minister to you. That the Holy Ghost can show you the things you have need of. Again, if you're a child of God, his spirit bears witness inside. And you say, you know what? I may not like it. It may hurt. It may cut. But he's right. There's something that bears witness with this. There's something true about this. I see it clear as a bell. Why? Because the witness of God. Amen. The lost man's never experienced that one time. No. Just black words on a white page. Yeah. It's just formalism. No power. There's no unction. In verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man. That natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know what God does? He'll give you spiritual ears to hear. Everything will sound different. He'll give you spiritual eyes to see. Everything looks different. He'll even change your nose. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just go to the book of Deuteronomy. When they eased themselves abroad, they took that paddle on the end of their spear and they buried it deep in the earth. Years ago, why? Because God didn't want that uncleanness in the camp. I preached years ago, someone doesn't smell right in the camp. Amen. Boy, you'll smell a stink, amen, spiritually. You'll smell that uncleanness spiritually. They don't bury that stuff, buddy. You'll know it. God will change your senses. God will change your discernment. Spiritually discerned. Back in our text in Romans chapter 8. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, and that's an if, the body is dead because of sin, there's your flesh. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, there's another if, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why you're spiritually alive. That's how you can spiritually discern, because you have life you've never had before. Amen. And it's on the inside. Amen. Glory be to God. And that secret place.
Yes, sir.
A lot of folks don't have that. But they sure do need it. One of the things I've noticed over the years, and this, listen, again, I've been traveling almost 17 years, finished up 17 years on the road. Watch a lot of folks try. They change their outward appearance. They change their manner of dress. They change their life. They'll eat vegan. They'll, you know, eat organic. They'll use natural oils. They'll use all the things of the flesh. They'll stop doing this. They'll stop doing this. They'll start doing this. All those fleshly endeavors, all trying to prove to themselves they really love God. And all they got to do is just believe the gospel. And boy, they pursue all these ventures and all these fleshly ideals, these bodily exercises, without pleasing God. And they do all these things, trying to better themselves and try to, you know, the whole health, wealth, body mindset. And listen, I'm for you eating healthy. I don't have a problem with that. But it never takes the place of God. It never takes the place of holiness. It never takes the place of righteousness. I'm all for doing what you can to try to be more physically able to do things, exercise and movements and those things. I'm all for that. It doesn't make you spiritual. Matter of fact, it might make you carnal. All these endeavors trying to mask the reality that we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe this will please the Lord. Maybe if I change my manner of attire, this will please the Lord. Maybe if I change my outward appearance, this will please the Lord. Maybe if I don't wear this, this will please the Lord. Maybe if I don't put this on, this will please the Lord. You know, pleases Him? Faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Everything's taking the place of God. Everything's taking the place of the Word of God. Mannerisms. Okay, let's talk about this. I'll use this as an example. Where do you draw the line with euphemisms? Euphemism is one of those things, it's a slang word that replaces the word you're really could be saying or should be saying, but it's slang. And I remember years ago hearing preaching on euphemisms. They said, well, what you really mean is, and then, you know, why don't you just curse? You know, and they say, you're using a euphemism. And for years, I heard the preaching on euphemisms. And I mean, it was a big thing. Everybody ever said dolly in the church service. I mean, my goodness, Fred, they were lost and hopeless. And you said from the pulpit, you were down low. I mean, that's what I came up with, saw it later on in my ministry with folks. All hung up on euphemisms. And then they changed the words of the King James Bible.
There you go.
All hung up whether you say darn it or not. And somebody got mortified because I said that from the pulpit. Then they changed the words and said, well, this is what the Bible really means. They get all offended because you say things that I've had people say to me, you're just crude in the pulpit. And I go, but you changed the Bible, not me. You correct the Bible, not me. Who's crude? What pleases God? Faith pleases God. Y'all not cuss. Y'all not use ungodly language. You're going to be called into account for every idle word. Just be reminded of that. Myself included. You ought to clean your language up. You ought to speak fitting words. You ought to speak words that have some weight to them. You ought to speak words that have some power to them. Then they go and change what the Bible says. And that's okay. I'd rather use 14 euphemisms in a message than change one word of what a King James Bible says deliberately. Chasing all these pipe dreams. It'll make me spiritual. It'll make me spiritual. It'll make me spiritual. No, this is going to make you spiritual if you believe God. Put down that old man. Put down your flesh.
Amen.
You walk with God.
Amen.
Nobody has ever accidentally been spiritual. I've said things that seem spiritual and kind of shocked myself. Wow. I mean, there's actually times I've stopped and gone, man, that was good. I know y'all never done that, but I have. You don't accidentally become spiritual, you deliberately. Why? Because you mortify the deeds of the body. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live.
Amen.
Well, since we're here, let's go over there to Philippians 1. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. I said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. That's your flesh. It's not your outward appearance. That's in your body. That's your flesh. Why is that? If you believe for my death, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, he tells us how to magnify Christ in our bodies. When he tells us to mortify your members, therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. That's past tense. You mortify, slay, kill, deeds of the flesh. It ought never be mentioned among the saints of God, fornication after they get saved.
Amen.
Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Boy, there's a lot of that today. You know what he said to the saints of God? You treat the elder women as mothers. So what does that mean? Well, you entreat them like your own mother. Now, if you're abusive to your mother, don't do that. If you hate your mother, you might want to treat her better than that. But how you ought to treat your mother, that's how you treat the older women in the church. Then how do you treat the younger? Like a sister. I want you young men to listen to me. I never found my sister attractive.
Never.
He said, with all purity.
Come on.
Now listen, we don't believe in this whole dating around the church, trying to figure out who you're supposed to marry by the numeration system, by the appearance of the outward flesh. That's not what we teach, believe, preach. You wouldn't find that anywhere in the Bible. But since you do find the Bible, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Now, how do you find something? You go look for it, right? So, young ladies, how do you find a husband? You don't.
Right.
You're not looking. You just go ahead and say amen on that. Miss Autumn, say amen. Amen. Loudly, amen. Say amen, Brother Tim. That's right. Not looking. A man's looking. If he walks with God, he's spiritual, knows the will of God, he goes to that girl's daddy or her pastor or someone else in her chain, just says, hey, I'm interested, what do you think? And by the way, you're crazy if you don't.
Come on. Go ahead.
You go to people that know her. Because she can fool you, buddy.
Amen.
Girls, he can fool you too.
That's right.
I just bothers people. I'm just telling you the reality of it. There's a lot of inordinate affection. Oh, she's cute. Well, call me in 20 years. Oh, he's so dreamy. Call me in 20 years. I didn't know men got so fat. Oh, they do. Amen. You can treat those younger as sisters with all purity. That means you fight for them. Amen, man. You protect them. You love them. You care about them. You're there for them, but they're not there for you. These churches have become hotbeds of whoremongering, fornication, adultery, and uncleanness. So they're known for. God forbid. You mortify those things in your body. You kill those things, slay those things. Make sure they're dead in you. Evil concupiscence, covetousness. But look at verse 8. Now you also put off all these. Anger. And I know me, so it goes, but does the Bible say to be angry and sin not? Well, that's the whole point. You can be angry, just don't let yourself sin. You say, how can you be angry without sinning? Well, you can be angry, just don't cuss, kick, punch, scream, rant, rave. Don't have malice, jealousy, bitterness. You're going to be angry. God's angry. You can be angry. But you mortify that in your body. You get rid of that temper. You kill it. You slay it. Wrath, that outpouring, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God will change the way you talk. But you know what? You got to mortify it. God will change your mouth if you're willing to close it. But you got to die. You know what those folks' problem is? They don't have anything on the inside to stop them. There's nothing on the inside to slow them down. Nothing on the inside to keep them from doing wrong. But he said, you shall die if you through the live out of the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you do that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Pretty basic. They are the sons of God. I'm not going to go too far out with this. I'll be done. I'm not going to go too far with this. How far can you be led by the Spirit of God? His sheep hear his voice. And by the way, they know the voice of their own. And God will lead you with that same voice. Never outside of the Word of God. Never outside the bounds of Scripture. Never outside the bounds of this King James Bible. He'll never lead you outside of that. But he will lead you. Why will he lead you? Because he's your God. He'll do that for every one of his children. He'll lead you in the affairs of life. He'll lead you in marriage. He'll lead you in children. He'll lead you in ministry and the ministering to others. But you know, if it's for nobody else, he'll lead you just for you.
Amen.
He'll keep you from danger. He'll keep you from evil. He'll put you in places where there's cool water. Why? Because you're led by the Spirit of God. You don't find that much today. Well, we felt like the Lord led us here. Plus, we got a big pay raise. I feel like the Lord's leading me to leave this church and go to a big church where they got a lot of money. And the story years ago, I've said it before, but here I am in evangelism, went by faith. Now listen, you don't feel sorry for me. It's not a sorry, sorrowful tale. But I walked away from my job. Matter of fact, next month, 17 years ago, I walked away from my job. Went full-time on the road in evangelism. Never had meetings, didn't know anybody, didn't know hardly any churches, didn't have any support. Just been on the road a couple of months, and I go to a church, and the lady's testifying. She's weeping, she's crying. She said, my son, he graduated Bible college, and you know, he was out there looking for a church, and God just didn't seem to open up doors, and finally a church contacted him, and she said they had him. She's weeping, she's crying. They had a salary and a gas card, and a housing allowance and a place for them to live and health insurance and a 401k. And I mean, she's a weeping. And he just knew it was the will of God. And I wasn't trying to be a jerk or be cocky. I told that lady later, I said, ma'am, I said, I went full time in evangelism without any of that, but I knew it was the will of God.
All right.
Then, You're led by the Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with personality. It has nothing to do with peer pressure. It has to do with what God wants. I tell you, if I was in a bad relationship, I'd pull out in a heartbeat before I'd grieve God. I've watched people so many times. I've had them come to me and say, I don't know if I should marry this person. I said, you better get out while you can then. Because God hasn't sealed that in your heart. You better run, buddy. You better bail out. I'm talking about before you're married. Real quick. I want to clarify real quick. Before you're married. Amen. Just double check. Before you're married. Amen. Once you say I do, you got her, buddy. You're led by the Spirit of God. You're just led by whims, ideals, financial gain, profitability. You see, being led by the Spirit of God means not everything's logical. Had a young man that some of you know was preaching, had been coming to preach a meeting. And he'd say something, and listen, it was like daggers. I knew where he was preaching, I knew what he was saying. And he just, all of a sudden, he'd just say something, he'd just strike somebody, he'd just go, huh, man. Ah, you just see him in agony. And all of a sudden he'd go, I just feel like the Lord wanted me to say that. And then he'd say something else. Bam! If you recoil. I feel like the Lord just wanted me to say that. You know, a man came up to me at the service, he goes, you know, that young man, he's a novice. He can't say that the Lord told him to say that. And I said, yes, he can. Because he knows the Lord. Meeting in Philadelphia several years ago, Brother Sammy Allen was preaching. And he preached kind of an unusual thought. And he just said, I feel like the Lord wanted me to say something about this. And he preached, and everybody there is just kind of annoyed with him, irritated, like, what in the world? And he's out in the alley, just say, I feel like the Lord wants me to say this, and he'd say something. And again, it's just people just getting weirded out by him. It was an unusual thing. Didn't bother me one bit, by the way. Young lady over there about halfway back sprinted down to the altar, fell on the altar weeping, sobbing. Couldn't hide it. Brother Allen says, I guess that's why God wanted me to say that. People are told that doesn't even exist today. They say that's not even real today. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, it is. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Do you have the witness of God? Does his Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Is the Holy Ghost your teacher? Is this an open book to you where you can read the pages of this book? You don't need a study guide. You don't need a help. You don't need 19 books to say what it's saying and read what God said and say, thus saith the Lord. And the Word of God ministers to your heart by the ministry of the Holy Ghost, because that's evidence of salvation. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Are you led by the Spirit of God? If you are, you're the sons of God. When I was saved pretty early on, the Lord would have me do things, unusual things. And I'd go do them sometimes. It wouldn't work out the way I thought it should. And I'm going back to my house on Marshall Street in Hagerstown, Maryland, sit down in my chair and say, Lord, why did you send me out there? And I just remember the Spirit of God speaking to me, ministering to me, warming my heart, just saying, because I asked you to. Amen. I've driven back long farm lanes to find an abandoned farmhouse because I felt like the Lord had pressed me to move. Put a track in the door and left. I'd be sitting on my couch 10 o'clock at night. The Lord would say, go on the streets. I wouldn't even take a friend with me. I'd just go. I wouldn't take Smith or Colt, either one. I'd just go. Go walk the streets, hand out tracts, preach. Driving through town, the Lord would press my heart, go preach. I'd pull the car inside of the road, go back in the square and preach. I learned some lessons with God. I learned to have a walk with God. I learned to hear the voice of God. Learned to listen, to hear him, to know his will. Can I say to you, my friend, That's what God wants in your life. To hear his voice, to know his will, to know his doing. To know the voice of God when he calls in salvation. To hear the voice of God when he speaks to you personally. It calls you to repentance. Because once you hear that voice, you'll recognize that voice the rest of your life. Another will come and he'll say, I'm God. And you'll say, no, that's not the same voice. Because that's not the voice of my shepherd. Hallelujah. I get books people give me. I'll start flipping through them sometimes. I go, well, that's not the voice of my shepherd. They'll give me CDs to listen to. I'll go, that's not the voice of my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Is that the voice you hear? Preacher.
Amen. We need to...